Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Have you ever heard the saying, history repeats itself? Lifelong students of history claim that it's quite evident that human beings don't learn from the mistakes of our past generations. The Israelites, travelling through the desert country toward their promised land, weren't learning either from their own mistakes made only a few days before. Once again, the people needed water to drink and confronted Moses as though it was his fault that they didn't have everything they needed. This was the fourth time since they arrived at the Red Sea that the people had grumbled against Moses. All through their journey, the Lord had been testing and disciplining the Israelites, but now they were beginning to test his patience. When we refuse to trust God, make demands of him, and grumble against him and his appointed leaders, we are testing the Lord. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, while in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And just as Moses had done in the past, when the people grumbled again, he once more turned to the Lord for help.
And the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people or animals to drink, so that they once more complained.
There isn't any water anywhere.
Oh, why did we ever come with Moses? I'm sure he's going to kill us all with thirst. Go and ask him for water. He got us into this. Let him get us out.
The tent is up now. Go in with the children, dear, and rest. I will go to Moses.
Why do you find fault with me? Why do you try the Lord?
Why did you bring us and our children and our cattle up out of the land of Egypt in the first place if you're only going to let us die with thirst?
Moses withdrew from the crowd and cried unto God.
What shall I do with this people, angel? They are ready to stone me.
Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take with you the rod with which you caused the parting of the Red Sea. God shall stand before you on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink.
Not long after the children of Israel got water from the rock at Horeb, the army of the Amalekites, who lived near Rephidim, marched out to attack them. The Israelites had had no weapons when they left Egypt, but as they traveled, they had made weapons. And now Moses appointed young Joshua to lead the army.
Joshua, here are your orders for our battle with the Amalekites. Choose 12 companies of your best men and prepare them for battle. Tomorrow, I will stand upon the hill overlooking the plain. When I hold up my arms, it shall be the sign for you to advance. When my arms are at my sides, you shall fall back. The Lord will protect us.
Dear.
Aaron and Hur held Moses' hands up until sunset, and under the blessings of the Lord, the Israelites won the victory.
In Exodus chapter 17, the Israelites came to their first battle with their distant cousins named the Amalekites. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, Jacob's twin brother. The Amalekite tribe had two overriding characteristics, cruelty and cowardice. They'd never believed in Israel's God and were always hostile to the Israelites, and they didn't attack Israel's army head on. They actually attacked only those at the back of the procession who were too weak to keep pace with their stronger brothers. This meant that the Amalekites attacked the Israelite stragglers who were too ill, too weak, or too young to protect themselves. Until Joshua later led a counterattack, There must have been a terrible slaughter of innocent, feeble souls when this happened. Moses told Joshua to choose some men and go out the next day to fight their attackers. Moses said he would stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. When the battle began, Moses held up the rod and interceded in prayer to God. And during that time, Joshua and his men were winning the battle. But when Moses' hands grew weary and he put his arms down, the Amalekites started winning against Joshua. So Aaron and Hur sat Moses on a big rock and held up his arms for the entire day of the battle. In that way, Joshua and his men prevailed against the Amalekites. The Lord could have overcome the Amalekites without any human intervention, as he had done so with the Egyptian army all by himself, but this time he expected the Israelites to take part. This is true for most of our own struggles as well. God usually chooses to use people to fight his battles and accomplish his work. We see God's sovereignty joined together with human responsibility to bring about God's will. However, we can never win the battles in our own strength. We must always recognize that we need God's help. The Israelites should have seen God's hand in the outcome of the battle and never further doubted that God was with them. Throughout history, Almighty God graciously has reached down and used his servants, who are people like you and me, to achieve his greater purposes. He gives us the privilege of sharing his work with us. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" But how much we miss out if we decline his invitation. The Lord was so furious with the Amalekites that he swore to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Moses, in his last sermon to Israel 40 years later, urged Israel to carry out God's wrath against Amalek and reminded them of the cause for it in Deuteronomy chapter 25. As an indication of God's great care and concern for the weak ones among his people, God organized Israel's future travels in the desert to be marches by tribes. Then the weaker people would always be in the main body, moving along with their tribe instead of trudging along at the end and being unprotected by the stronger Israelites. Someone may be asking what cowardice is. We don't use this word very much these days, but in times past, any person lacking in courage in the face of life and death challenges was called a coward. And no one liked to be called a coward either, as this was considered a lack in character. Even if it was wiser to withdraw from a situation than risk injury or death, an enemy would see such an action as cowardice. In the case of the Amalekites, they cowardly attacked those who had no chance of protecting themselves, let alone gaining some advantage over the warriors or harming them back in some way. Down through the centuries, during times of trouble, temptation, trial, sorrow, and crisis, God has brought courage into the hearts of those who love him. The Bible has many assurances of God's help and comfort in times of trouble, and especially when fear arises in the human heart. Believers in the Lord Jesus can come to the Scriptures with full assurance that God's presence is within them when they put their trust and confidence in God. In Isaiah chapter 26 it says, "You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. So settle in your mind what is right, and you'll find courage in your heart to carry things through with the right actions, because to see what is right and to not do it is in fact cowardice." Stories of other people showing courage in the Bible inspire us to do our best too. In Acts chapter 3, Jesus' apostles Peter and John went to the temple to pray. Outside the temple gate, they met a man who couldn't walk since he was born. He could only make a living by begging for money from people that were walking past. Peter and John didn't have any money to give him, but when the man asked them for some, they gave what they did have. Peter told the man that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to get up and walk. Peter helped him up and the man was immediately healed and began walking and jumping around. He went into the temple praising God. This healing drew a large crowd and Peter began to preach to them about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He told them how Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, and so challenged them to repent and receive forgiveness of all their sin, as well as eternal salvation through Jesus himself. Upon hearing this preaching, the religious leaders were upset and they put Peter and John into jail. The next day, the religious leaders demanded that the men explained by what power and in whose name did they heal the lame man. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, gave the credit to Jesus Christ for the healing and how salvation was found only through him. How could the religious leaders stop this? They decided to tell Peter and John not to ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Peter replied, "You yourselves judge what is right in God's sight, to obey or not to obey God, for we cannot stop speaking of what we ourselves have seen and heard." The religious leaders then threatened them and let them go, because the people could see a miracle had been done. Peter and John returned to their friends and rejoiced together and glorified God. Later, the apostles were again healing and preaching in the name of Jesus when they were taken into custody again. The religious leaders were very upset that Peter and John had disobeyed them, and now the whole city was talking about Jesus and his doctrine. Peter told the leaders that they would obey God rather than man. This time, the apostles were beaten before being released. But the men rejoiced and praised God because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. When Christians do the Lord's work and share his word, some people get angry. Some become so upset that they think they're doing God's will by persecuting or even killing Christians. However, God says that if we deny ourselves and have the courage to suffer for him by doing what's right, just as Christ is our example, our sacrifice at that time is worthy of God's praise as it glorifies him. In 1934, a pastor named Martin Niemöller was one of the many pastors summoned to Adolf Hitler's office in Berlin to be accused of not supporting Hitler's programs as they were expected to. Pastor Niemöller explained that he was concerned only for the welfare of the church and the German people. Hitler snapped back, "You confine yourself to the church. I'll take care of the German people." Niemöller replied, "But we too as Christians and churchmen have a responsibility toward the German people. That responsibility was entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone in this world has the power to take it from us." Hitler listened in silence, but that evening Niemöller's home was searched, and a few days later a bomb exploded in his church. During the months and years that followed, he was closely watched by the secret police. In 1937 he preached these words to his church, "We have no more thought of using our own powers to escape the arm of the authorities than had the apostles of old. We must obey God rather than man." Niemöller was soon arrested and placed in solitary confinement. Niemöller's trial took place months later, and on the way to the courtroom, he was overcome by terror and loneliness. The guard escorting him waited until the last moment to whisper Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 in his ear. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Niemöller's fear fell away, and the power of that verse sustained him through his trial and 7 years in Nazi concentration camps. Niemöller is best remembered for his quote on cowardice in those war years among the German people. "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." May we always trust the Lord and do right. Amen.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.